Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jors and John Rahor. We're getting ready for a playoff game this Saturday. That's right, earlier than your usual Sunday. The wild card round of the playoffs against the Minnesota Vikings. To talk about that game, to talk about the matchup, we have a guest joining us on the line to kick off the show right away this morning. We have Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Wes, the very first thing right off the bat I want to know is how many outraged readers have contacted the Press Gazette about alcohol sales being cut off earlier than usual this Saturday?
We've had a pretty good response so far, Brian. I think it was one of our popular stories on the website even yesterday, to be completely honest with you. That's going to be something I think a lot of people are going to have to either make pregame sort of alterations, their preparation that game or what they're going to do. But yeah, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment Packers fans are going to have to make going into Saturday night's game, for sure.
That is crazy that story dominates the headlines, the alcohol sales. So, but anyhow, talking about the game here, Tremont Williams, he has the flu. What's the word with Tremont Williams and will he play?
You know, Mike McCarthy yesterday, Brian, was pretty quiet about it, and he said he really didn't know where it was at. If you look at the guys who have battled this bug, though, I mean, it's been, you know, Don Barclay, Greg Van Roten. I mean, you have Mason Crosby get bitten with it. There's actually probably about six or seven guys that have dealt with this, and nobody's missed a game yet. TJ Lang said it was only about a 24-hour deal for him. Don Barclay said it took about 3-4 days, but whatever the case is, I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to keep Tremont Williams out. If this would happen maybe closer to Saturday night, maybe possibly that'd be something that would, you know, maybe limit him a little bit. But just based on the track record for the Packers and how they've dealt with these things, I'm guessing he plays. And I know going, you know, coming off last week's game against Minnesota, he's probably going to want to play a lot better too. So there's going to be a lot of motivation for him to get back out there.
Other than Williams, I don't think there's a whole lot of unexpected news on the injury front. It appears both Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb will play, will they not?
Yeah, that's what I think, Ryan. You know, I was at practice yesterday, and they looked great. You know, Jordy did some sprinting basically one side of the Hudson Center to the other by himself before practice, and he just sort of, you know, during team warm-ups. And then, you know, Randall was back, you know, splitting kick return duties with Jeremy Ross. Now, as far as special teams are concerned, I'm not really sure how they're planning to handle that. Jeremy Ross played really, really well the last week and a half. And, you know, I still think Randall Cobb's your guy, but they might decide to limit his reps there a little bit and keep him on the offensive side. But whatever happens, I think Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb will actually get the full injury report today for what their status will be. I'm guessing both of those guys will be probable and probably out there and giving Rodgers a full assortment of weapons to go up against the Vikings in this round two matchup.
Now, I read your article this morning over at the Green Bay Press Gazette on Charles Woodson and his return and how it's going to impact his role. And let me see if I have this right. Based upon talks with, I think, cornerbacks coach Joe Witt, he says Woodson will play safety in the base defense. He'll stay at safety in the nickel defense. And then play the slot in the dime defensive package. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, I think that means Jerron McMillan is the odd man out.
Yeah, that's probably right, based on what will happen. Because my guess is that when they move Woodson back into the dime, that'll probably just put MD Jennings back there. We'll have to see how much they use that. You know, that might not actually be a package they use a whole lot going up against Adrian Peterson and wanting to probably get some bigger bodies on there. That'll be a little bit of a wrinkle. But the basic thinking is that Casey Hayward's way too valuable right now to take him out of the nickel. And I think everyone kind of expected that. I was surprised yesterday Joe actually put that much of an emphasis on it that, yeah, this is probably how it'll lay out. And Charles understands that Casey Hayward right now in that slot spot really gives them the best chance just with his playmaking ability and his ability to get interceptions and everything he does there. So, you know, given everything monitors out okay and it checks out fine, that he doesn't have any concerns about the collarbone, Mike McCarthy said they'll be watching him throughout the game. That's where I'm expecting for them to see, you know, Charles Woodson the most is probably back at that safety spot. Dom Capers said he could play three different positions, but at the end of the day, with how Casey Hayward's playing and assuming Tremont Williams is healthy, I think their best shot right now is probably to have Woodson back at that safety spot and see if he can get some of those plays he's made in the past to kind of get those turnovers and, you know, kind of swing the momentum a little bit against that Vikings team that didn't make a whole lot of mistakes last week.
That is a good point about not playing a whole lot of dime defense against Adrian Peterson. You're probably right that we won't see at least a whole lot of it. Talking about Adrian Peterson here, what can the Packers possibly do anything different than they did against him the first few games of the season? Is it just a matter of executing?
Yeah, I think it is. I know it's really cliche, Brian, but I think that is kind of what it boils down to here. Because if you look at the stats, and I rewatched the game, I mean, I thought the defensive line played pretty well. And DJ Raji got a lot of penetration. You had Ryan Pickett did a really nice job stuffing the run. But what happened is a lot of times Peterson, when there wasn't anything up the middle, would bounce outside. So then it's up to, and Dom Capers said it yesterday, that's when it's up to the outside backers to really set the edge and, you know, and be able to, you know, kind of slow them down. And whether that was Eric Walden, you know, Clay Matthews, Desmond Moses, they had a little bit of a rough time with that. Once he bolted outside, that's just, you know, it's almost luck for those defensive backs. Because as much as you want to say, hey, you know what, you got to shore up the tackling, it's tough for a defensive back to tackle Woods or Peterson just one-on-one like that. So it's going to be a lot more gang tackling. It's going to be trying to be a little bit less aggressive and just stick to those fundamentals. But Adrian Peterson's going to get his. He's going to get at least 100 yards. You can almost count on it. It's just the kind of back he is. It's just about keeping those gains manageable to kind of take away that play-action game for Christian Ponder, because it seemed like that's what really opened it up for him to be able to manage that game as well as he did, you know, last Sunday.
You know, sticking with the defense here, something that's just kind of gone through my head, and I want to get your thoughts on it. I don't think we've really seen a whole ton of creativity from defensive coordinator Dom Capers this season compared to previous years. We haven't seen that psycho package as much. We haven't seen the big Oakie package. We haven't seen those zone right blitzes with defensive linemen dropping into coverage. Is the playoffs the time to bust something out like that?
Yeah, that's a great, great observation, Brian. It's actually funny you mentioned the psycho thing. I brought that up to Desmond Moses earlier this year. He didn't even know what the psycho package was. So
really? Wow.
I mean, yeah, there's been some definite changes with what they've done defensively. And I think one of the things you can talk about, too, is that 3rd-and-11 play going up against Minnesota last week, in which they hit Michael Jenkins there for 25. I went and did the Vikings locker room after that game, and Jenkins said they were waiting for that play. They were waiting for them to only drop eight and only rush three. That was something they had scripted. They'd been waiting to use it. So when it happened, I mean, the Vikings, it was almost like Christmas morning for them to go in there and, you know, hit their assignments and get that gain. So I wonder, you do wonder, Leslie Frazier said it this week, that, you know, that first game, Dom Capers did some different stuff against them. The second game, he kind of switched up the run a little bit and how he used the safeties and defensive linemen. You do wonder that third game now if they're going to try to break out some other stuff. I thought the blitzes they had 2 weeks ago with Casey Hayward and A.J. Hawk were a little bit of a nice wrinkle. I hadn't seen too much of that this season, but I think you do have to bring out some new stuff. And you have to be careful because you don't want to get beat deep, but you do have to be smart with what they do. But at the same time, I agree. That's something I think could give them an edge if they could really dust off some of those old plays and some of that creativity to kind of get Christian Ponder on his heels.
Can I get a prediction for this Saturday's game? I don't know. Maybe you're saving it for the Press Gazette.
No,
go ahead.
No, I'm going to pick the Packers, Brian. And actually, I thought about it this week, but I'm not going to be reactionary. I think the reactionary pick would be say, well, you know, the X, Y, and Z went wrong last week against Minnesota. Who's to say that the Vikings can't do that again? I know, too, in our post-game chats, that was a lot of people were really wondering about that and worried about that. But I still think getting them back to Lambeau Field is going to make a big difference. You know, and it sounds, you know, it's different with having the, you know, being back outside. I know everyone talks about the cold and, you know, everything like that. But I think it's just different as far as the noise level. I mean, I was in the Metrodome last week. That was the first time I was there. And it is a deafening, deafening sound in there, the way they pump in noise and the fans and everything like that. It gets really loud. And I think you saw that on those first few series, whether it was, you know, I think Don Barkley a little bit, that might have impacted the offense a little bit. I think when you bring them back out to Lambeau, it's a little bit different. Yeah. A little bit different of an environment. If the Packers offense can get off to a little bit better start than they did last week, get Rodgers in a groove there and get the offense clicking, that's probably what they need. They falling behind 13-0 on the road, though, that was a difficult thing for them to do, especially against Peterson. So if they can get out there, get a quick start, I think they're going to win this game. I think they're going to cover the 8.5-point spread, too.
Wow. Wes, thanks so much for joining us here this morning. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again, and take care.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I really enjoyed being on, and you enjoy the rest of the playoffs here, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot. Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV here on Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in and talking about some playoff action. Let's get right to it. There's a lot to get to. I'm going to start things off here. Wes gave his prediction. I'm going to give mine. I'm going with Packers 28-24. Just get it out of the way here. 28-24. Packers winning. There's my prediction. Wes thinks that they'll cover the spread. I do not. I think this is going to be a great game. I think it'll be a close game. Pardon me, don't kill me here. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers lose. It wouldn't surprise me. I really do think Minnesota is a good team. But that being said, okay, I am predicting a Packers win, okay? So let's just get that clear. So I think the one thing that's maybe influenced me the most is go back to 2009, okay? The Packers visit Arizona in the regular season finale. The Packers win. They turn around. They face the Cardinals in the wild card round of the playoffs. And the Packers lose, as you'll remember. In fact, a little bit of a parallel here. The head referee from 2009 is also the referee. His name's Green, I think. And as you remember, in that playoff loss to the Cardinals, there were a couple controversial calls in that game. Anyway, but kind of going off on a little tangent here, I do think that because of that, it doesn't mean anything that the Vikings won the game last week, last Sunday, the regular season finale. The Packers can easily turn around and you know, take care of business. I said it wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings won. It wouldn't surprise me if the Packers won handily either. I'm not really going out on too much of a limb here, but you know, that's just the NFL. I mean, nothing surprises me. I've seen too much football in my day to like get used to anything and like having anything surprise me. Heck, just. Just the other night, two nights ago there in the Sugar Bowl, I had pegged Florida for dominating Louisville in the Sugar Bowl. I make my bowl confidence pool where you rank the teams in terms of like, you know, you rank the teams at the top, the teams you're going to think are just going to blow out their opponent, and then you rank them all the way down to the bottom, and the teams you really, it's almost like a coin flip. You don't know who's going to win, but you pick someone because you have to. And anyway, I had Florida ranked as my number two team overall in my bowl confidence pool, and Louisville dominated them. Louisville dominated them. I've watched too much football in my day to have anything surprise me. But ultimately, I think there's a better chance the Packers win. It comes down to home field advantage, I think. As you know, I think has been a big talking point this week has been the Aaron Rodgers experience in the playoffs. He is the only quarterback in the NFC side of the bracket that has a playoff win. You're not seeing Drew Brees in the playoffs this year. Aaron Rodgers is the person, the guy, and I have more faith in him than I do Christian Ponder. And it's kind of interesting. I just got through with my interview at 107.1 K107 with Bart Winkler just before we came on air here at Railbird Central, and I talked about how much I'm liking Christian Ponder and I really do think Christian Ponder is starting to come on. And I know Packers fans could probably care less about Christian Ponder and hope he doesn't come on. But I really do think he was young last year. He was a rookie. I do think he's starting to do good things. And I do think he's, destined to be a pretty good quarterback in the future. I think next year he's going to be even better than this year. That being said, I think it comes down to one game, a game in which he's on the road, and I think the Packers can force him into just a mistake or two. That's all it's going to take. If they could just force him into one interception, maybe two, or maybe a fumble or something, I mean, that's it. That's it. That's all the Packers need. If they could finish plus one in the turnover margin, I think that can be the difference in the game. And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, whether it's Casey Hayward, whether it's Charles Woodson, whether it's Tremont Williams, whether it's Sam Shields, whoever it is. I mean, it could be anyone for all we know. So I think that's going to happen. And Wes Odkwitz said, Adrian Peterson's going to get his. He's going to have 100 yards. I think if you're the Packers, I think you hope he doesn't have 200 yards. He's a threat, no doubt about it. I think you just try to prevent the long ones. And I think what you got to do is keep him away from the perimeter. And I know we've talked about this before. I've talked about this before, how he's known as he really is a power back. I mean, he can run over people. He can run between the tackles. But Adrian Peterson has speed. I mean, once he gets to the corner, he can pull away from cornerbacks or at least make sure they don't catch him. He keeps the margin of distance between them, make sure they don't catch up to him from behind. Or if it is, they're taking an angle where they catch him down the field. I think the Packers got to try to box him in. I think they got to force him back to the middle of the field where there's help, where the inside linebackers, Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk, can help bring him down, things like that. Hopefully the defensive line has another big performance like it did last week. Defensive line really coming on, trending upward. I think B.J. Raji is really coming on this season ever since, I wrote an article at Cheesehead TV last week, ever since the bye week onward, B.J. Raji's been money. He's just been playing better and better all the time. Ryan Pickett's been solid all season long. The Packers, in their dope sheet press release, the Packers keep different statistics, the team does, than the NFL does, than the official NFL statistics you'll see. But the Packers keep their own set of statistics. And if you go look at the Packers weekly press release, they have Ryan Pickett down for 75 tackles this season. Ryan Pickett, the defensive tackle, the run stuffer, the 340-pounder with 75 tackles this year. And again, they're a little bit more generous, the team is, in terms of keeping statistics. And like I said, it's a totally different number than if you look at the NFL's official statistics. I mean, the Packers are a little more generous with things like assisted tackles and things along those lines. But 75 tackles from Ryan Pickett. Hey, the point is, the defensive line's doing good. Raji Pickett, you got C.J. Wilson back healthy, and he played well last week. You got Mike Neal finally looking good for the first time in his career this season. And you got Mike Daniels, who I think gives you an honest effort as a rookie and can be a threat. Lost a little bit of depth there with Jarrell Worthy, but I think the Packers still have good depth at defensive line anyway. I think they could get the job done, and they're good. So as they do their job, I think if the second and third level can do a little bit better tackling, that'll be big. They got to bring Adrian Peterson down. Can't afford those long gains. So that's where I'm at with the Packers defense in terms of containing Peterson, containing Ponder. I'm not terribly, impressed by the rest of their offense, especially the wide receivers. I don't think they have a whole lot there. Their offensive line is okay. Jerome Felton, their fullback, is a Pro Bowler. That's, I think the Packers could get the job done. I do think it's going to be close. Now, the Packers, as I alluded to before, have an elite weapon of their own in Aaron Rodgers, and I have confidence in him. I think this is the time when the Packers really step up and he steps up, and it's what we saw in 2010, the Super Bowl year. You know, when all the chips were on the table, when everything was at stake, when everything was on the line, the Packers went on the road three consecutive times. It just seems like Mike McCarthy has the team motivated when it counts. And I suppose maybe you point to last year in that loss to the Giants, and maybe they weren't motivated last year. But I was just so impressed with what the Packers did in 2010. I mean, how can you not be going on the road three times to reach the Super Bowl, then beating the Steelers in the Super Bowl? It's incredible. I'm in awe of what the Packers did this year. And I I've mentioned this before, but things are shape up better than they did in 2010. They had to go on the road three times. This year, at least they get one home game. They at least get the one home game this week. And maybe more if things turn out just the right way. You know, the Packers are the three seed, so it's possible they could host the NFC Championship game, although it's impossible for them to host a game in the divisional round. If they win, it's already determined they'll go to San Francisco next week. But anyway, I just think Mike McCarthy has this team motivated, and I think Aaron Rodgers will play well. And the everything's improved for the Packers this year, you know, in terms of last year. And that's why I give them a better chance as well. The defense, while not elite, the defense is 10 times better than it was last season when they gave up the most passing yards in the history of the NFL. I think they were 32nd in the NFL in terms of total yards given up, dead last. So things are much better this season. Stuffing the run better, stopping the pass better, getting off the field, all those kinds of things. Maybe not quite as many turnovers this year, but still not bad. And I think the defense as a whole is better. I think the Packers' running game is better this year. It isn't without a star. But they get the job done. It's no matter who's in there, whether it's Alex Green, it's Ryan Grant, it's DeJuan Harris, it's James Starks, they've all kind of combined this year for an impressive game or two. And they I think it's better than it was last year, at least. And I think if they just get a couple good plays from the running backs, they'll be fine. I know the Packers receiving core, in my mind, the best in the NFL. With the offensive line, I do think Don Barclay is a relative weakness, but I do have trust in all those other guys. The jury's still out a little bit on Evan Dietrich Smith, but I love the guards, like TJ Lang, like Josh Sitton. They might be the best pair of guards in the NFL. I really love the way Marshall Newhouse has improved, and we kind of made, I know I made, talked about it with Aaron Nagle or others. I know Zach Cruz pointed out in his preview this week here, the job of Marshall Newhouse and what he's done, in containing Jared Allen. Two games against the Vikings this year, Jared Allen has had zero sacks against Marshall Newhouse. Pretty darn good job for a guy who's among the NFL sack leaders, is a Pro Bowler, and one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. What year was it? Was it the Super Bowl season, or was it 2009? I'm going back into the recesses of my mind here, where Jared Allen in two regular season games against the Packers had something like 9 sacks. That was just a couple years ago. It was 2009 or 2010. And to go from that to zero this year, kudos to Marshall Newhouse. And I said on Twitter yesterday, and think about this for a second. Think about this. If Marshall Newhouse, you got to follow me here. If Marshall Newhouse can make as much progress from 2012 to 2013, we're talking next year in the future, as he has from 2011 to 2012, look out. I mean, think about it. Think how much progress Marshall Newhouse has made from last year to this year. Marshall Knowles hasn't been perfect. I admit that. Fully admit that. He's given up his share of sacks this year. But think how much he's improved compared to last year when he was giving up way too many sacks. Last year to this year, a ton better. And if he can make that same jump, it's even doubly better. Marshall Newhouse has improved every year. Think of 2010, the Super Bowl season. Marshall Newhouse, the Packers kept him on the roster. He didn't play in a single game all season. He wasn't good enough to even play in 2010. So the progress to go from not playing at all to playing in 2011, big step up. The progress from 2011 to 2012, big step up. If he can make that jump once again, I think the Packers have found their left tackle. Now, he's not the elite left tackle yet. I admit that. There's a ways to go. And maybe the Packers continue to look for that person. At the very least, bringing competition, again, that pushes everyone, makes everyone better. But Marshall Newhouse heading in the right direction. Heading in the right direction. I don't think you can deny that. So that's good there. What more can I say here? I guess we haven't talked about special teams. What was a little bit disappointing last week is the Vikings without Harvin. Am I correct? Their returner is Sherrills, Marcus Sherrills. Pardon me, I'm not an expert on the Vikings, but the Packers in the special teams last week gave up longish returns against Marcus Sherrills, and I think I read they gave up the longest punt return of the season last week. They gave up the longest kick return of the season last week. Now, I mean, it's definitely a good thing that the longest returns haven't been for touchdowns. And think about that for a second. I mean, that's pretty good improvement there by the special teams this season and how well they've done, how much they've improved, the coverage units especially. Something that was kind of a weakness in the past. So I think they did a good job this season. They did a little bit of a poor job last week. But on the positive side of the ledger, the Packers themselves have done a good job in their returns. I think the job Jeremy Ross has done has been much improved. So I think he's done a good job replacing Randall Cobb. And I think Randall Cobb does a good job. I don't know what the Packers should do if Randall Cobb is healthy and is capable of doing returns. I think maybe the Packers, at least next week, err on the side of caution. At least this game against the Vikings, they err on the side of caution and not have Randall Cobb return at all unless, you know, Jeremy Ross fumbles or something, and then they have to get Cobb back there. But I think maybe you go with Ross and just, you know, save Cobb for offense. But I think later on, if Cobb gets more healthy, I think you do have to have him back there, though, for the playoffs. I do think, Randall Cobb is more talented in general if he is completely healthy. And he poses that threat to take it to the house. But, I mean, Ross is looking like that, too. So I am kind of torn. John on the live blog says, I can't say it enough of how good of a job the scouting department did in finding DeJuan Harris and Jeremy Ross. No doubt about it, right? That's a great point. I mean, that's fantastic to find those guys and be doing a good job. So that's great. That's great. Kudos to Ted Thompson for finding those guys and finding contributors at midseason. Most of the guys you sign at midseason, they're just guys. They're just guys who fill out your roster. A lot of times they're guys who are inactive on game days, but these guys are contributors. It could be big time contributors going forward. We'll see. The jury's still out on that as well. But the future's bright with those guys, at least. So, folks, it's past 9 o'clock here, and that's going to do it. Like I said, if you missed it earlier, my prediction, Packers 28, Vikings 24, I'm predicting a win. I hope that's the case as we come back here on Monday. And again, I don't know if we're going to have Brett Goode anymore this season for our Oh Snap with Brett Goode segments that we have him on every Monday. And we've been glad to have him on, but it's such a different beast during the playoffs because sometimes they can play on Saturdays, the schedule changes. I know if any time a team loses, like, they get out of town the next day, or I mean, they're at least working on getting out of town. That not just having to do with the Packers, that's any team. So, but anyway, that would prevent maybe Brett Goode from joining us. Well, we'll try to maybe touch base with him once more, totally, before the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl or something. But we'll see if we're gonna break down the game regardless. So we'll see you here Monday morning, folks. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the game. I know it's a big one, so get excited, folks. A pep rally. If you're in Green Bay, there's a pep rally today, downtown Green Bay, I think by the courthouse, by Walnut Street, if I'm correct. So that's kind of cool. So go check that out or be looking for coverage of that online. So we'll see you later, everyone. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Go Pack, go. Thanks to Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette for joining us on the show today. And thanks to Jamie Jors, John Rahor for being our live blog directors today. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called Bazooka Speaker Funk by Keller Williams on Cy Fidelity Records. See everyone.